I went out and carried my bags up the stairs. Rinaldi was not in the room, but his things were there, and I sat down on the bed and unwrapped my puttees and took the shoe off my right foot. Then I lay back on the bed. I was tired and my right foot hurt. It seemed silly to lie on the bed with one shoe off, so I sat up and unlaced the other shoe and dropped it on the floor and then lay back on the blanket again. The room was stuffy with the window closed, but I was too tired to get up and open it. I saw my things were all in one corner of the room. Outside, it was getting dark. I lay on the bed and thought about Catherine and waited for Rinaldi. I was going to try not to think about Catherine, except at night before I went to sleep. But now I was tired and there was nothing to do, so I lay and thought about her. I was thinking about her when Rinaldi came in. He looked just the same. Perhaps he was a little thinner.
"Well, baby," he said.
I sat up on the bed and he came over, sat down and put his arm around me.
"Good old baby."
He whacked me on the back and I held both his arms.
"Old baby," he said. "Let me see your knee."
I'll have to take off my pants.
"Take off your pants, baby. We're all friends here. I want to see what kind of a job they did."
I stood up, took off the breeches, and pulled off the knee brace. Rinaldi sat on the floor and bent the knee gently back and forth. He ran his finger along the scar, put his thumbs together over the kneecap, and rocked the knee gently with his fingers.
"Is that all the articulation you have?"
"Yes."
"It's a crime to send you back. They ought to get complete articulation."
"It's a lot better than it was. It was stiff as a board." Rinaldi bent it more. I watched his hands. He had fine surgeon's hands. I looked at the top of his head. His hair shiny and parted smoothly. He bent the knee too far.
"Ouch," I said. "You ought to have more treatment on it with the machines," Rinaldi said.
"It's better than it was."
"I see that, baby. This is something I know more about than you."
He stood up and sat down on the bed.
"The knee itself is a good job."
He was through with the knee.
"Tell me about everything."
"There's nothing to tell," I said. "I've led a quiet life."
"You act like a married man," he said. "What's the matter with you?"
"Nothing," I said. "What's the matter with you?"
"This war is killing me," Rinaldi said. "I am very depressed by it."
He folded his hands over his knee.
"Oh," I said. "What's the matter? Can't I even have human impulses?"
"No, I can see you've been having a fine time. Tell me."
"All summer and all fall I have operated. I work all the time. I do everybody's work. All the hard ones they leave to me. By God, baby, I am becoming a lovely surgeon."
"That sounds better."
"I never think. No, by God, I don't think I operate."
"That's right. But now, baby,
it's all over. I don't operate now and I feel like hell. This is a terrible war, baby. You believe me when I say it. Now, you cheer me up. Did you bring the phonograph records?"
"Yes." They were wrapped in paper in a cardboard box in my rucksack. I was too tired to get them out.
"Don't you feel good yourself, baby?"
"I feel like hell."
"This war is terrible," Rinaldi said. "Come on, we'll both get drunk and be cheerful. Then we'll go get the ashes dragged. Then we'll feel fine."
"I've had the jaundice," I said. "And I can't get drunk."
"Oh, baby, how you come back to me? You come back serious and with a liver. I tell you, this war is a bad thing. Why did we make it anyway?"
"We'll have a drink. I don't want to get drunk, but we'll have a drink."